Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Dancer podcast, part of the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast here, where we're back after a long, long hiatus to talk about the second half of the Masked Dancer season. That includes everything from the Super Six all the way to the Diamond Champion. The Diamond Trophy being handed over to the winner, of course. And we'll talk about everything in between. Okay. We've got you covered here. I am, of course, your host, Puya the Candle, Zanvakili, back once again. And as always, I am not here alone. Could never do this on my own. I've got my right hand person, my sidekick, my ride or die. It's Liana the Mirror Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Ooh, I like to think that we are from Beauty and the Beast or something, because we're the candle in the mirror. That's
yeah,
like
that's
a Beauty and the Beast thing. Yeah, that's what that was about, right?
Did that with that in mind, yes.
Yeah, tied Disney Renaissance, you know, that totally makes sense. Very thematic.
That indeed it is, very thematic.
Always. Oh, man. This is rough.
Well, what's rough? Will you...
I don't know how to podcast about mass shows anymore.
No, I mean, wait, listen, no. It's like we got to shake the cobwebs off. It's been almost a month since we've last spoken, not to each other, but about mass content. But we're here. And I think that this is going to be very, very fun to talk about, because Mass Dancer, honestly, ultimately, now that it's said and done, did not end up being as similar to The Masked Singer as I thought it was going to be, for better or for worse. And we know officially, of course, we should talk about it right out the gate. Masked Singer Season 5 is going to premiere on March 10th. That is less than a month away from now.
I know. That's wild that it's coming back so quickly. I mean, it's not that quick, though, when I really think about it. But for some reason, it just feels so quick. Maybe because the Masked Dancer really was there to hold us over. But, I had a great time watching the Masked Dancer. We'll get into all of our thoughts about the specifics of each episode. But, and I'm ready for the mothership to come back.
Yeah, yeah. And I very much in the same space as you and on the same page as you when it comes to masked content. Masked Singer will always be the main, but Masked Dancer was a nice little, like, you know, it's like when you go to a restaurant and you're like, this place has the best steaks. That's what you're there for. But you're not going to be mad at the jalapeno poppers that you get at the start. You're like, you know what? This is kind of okay. So
wait, are you saying that Masked Dancer is the jalapeno poppers of masked restaurants?
It's the mozzarella sticks. It's the chicken wings. It's the nachos. It's basically an appetizer, right?
Oh my god! I saw a funny meme the other day that was like, "Have you ever wanted to eat 6 cheese sticks? Oh no, that's too much. But what if I fried them and put them with marinara sauce? Yeah. Bring them to me.
Yeah, it's so funny to consider that all it takes is a little bit of coating, shove it in an air fryer, and now it's to die for.
Fried food. I'll be the mozzarella stick if I'm ever on one of these masked shows.
Well, like, would that come across great costume wise?
No, it would just be a big tube.
Yeah, they're like, what is that? String cheese, french fries? mozzarella stick. But yeah. I feel like mozzarella sticks plural makes sense, but like no one, like the french fry is never going to be a costume french fry.
Like a single french fry,
right? It's like you're not going to recognize a mozzarella stick unless it's in an ensemble. Unless,
yeah, but what am I going to be like them. a basket? That seems like a very cumbersome costume.
I mean, I agree with you, but like same with like fish sticks. Like fish stick,
yeah, but who's been
solo
the fish stick?
Who's going to be the mozzarella stick?
Me.
That is not.
Yeah.
You know what? It is too early into the podcast for us to hit this wall.
So the masked dancer.
So the masked. Sorry. Danza.
The masked danza.
Craig would put it. The interesting thing is when it comes to masked content and us podcasting about it, this is the first time ever since we've started this wrap up where we would talk about an episode a week. So there wasn't like I don't know where to begin. It's kind of like, you know, we know what we're doing. This is interesting because we can either start at the Super Six or we can start at like, well, we know who the winner is. So I will let you decide as the spoiler alert, give you 5 seconds if you want to skip. As the draft winner this season, what direction do you want to take this this conversation?
Okay, so I know you said that you were going to cut this out of the podcast if I talked about it, but I'm going to talk about it. So enjoy cutting this out of the podcast.
I mean, I invited it. I invited it by bringing it up.
Okay, good. Yeah. So anyway, so Puya and I did a draft at the beginning of this whole experience. And I just want to say we each drafted 4 contestants. I drafted the top 4. So I'm pretty much a genius. And I know everything there is to know about Masked Dancer and the Masked Dancer and dancing and just all of that in general. Obviously, clearly, I am the best. So as your queen, let me decide where I want to go. Look. Is that my laugh track?
That's the sarcastic laugh track.
Wow.
All right. Well, as my queen, okay, where do you want to go?
Queen, I think I want to give just some kind of like overall thoughts that I had about the Masked Dancer in general. Like,
yeah, I'm down.
What I liked, what I didn't like, things that really appealed to me. And the first thing that I absolutely have to start with, and I can't believe that I would... Previously, Anna, who was watching this for the first time, never would have thought that I would have been 100% here for Paula. Put Paula Abdul on every, and you and I were talking about this, put Paula Abdul on every single masked blank there is. The masked singer, the masked juggler, the masked cook, the masked, I don't know, underwater basket weaver. Like, whatever it is, put Paula Abdul on it. She's fabulous. I loved her to death. They, like, kept in all of her correct guesses, which they didn't. It's not like a Robin Thicke situation where they cut it out. Loved it. I couldn't believe it. I was obsessed with her. She was my favorite out of all the panels.
Yeah. I remember when we first got into the Masked Dancer, I made a joke about, like, we didn't need Paula back. You know, leave Paula with American Idol where she was. But I very much am like eating crow because I think Paula's been the best part of the whole season. Genuinely. I think Paula and then Craig has been like the next part for me. But Paula is just, you know, she's everything I want Jenny McCarthy to be. She's got the pop culture knowledge down. She is fun. She's bubbly. She has great chemistry with everyone. She doesn't come off fake and she likes to get vaccinated. So it's like, she's got everything I would need in a masked singer judge. So right. If you throw her on there and replace her with Jenny McCarthy, I bet you no one's going to complain because she was like the right amount of like kooky, but like on point with everything. When Paula's coming through and like, oh, that's Liza Koshy. Part of me is like, I did not think you'd be someone who would know who Liza Koshy is, but I really do appreciate that you know your business, you know your internet. So I did like that from her.
That was the biggest shock to me was the fact that she knew so many people. She knew so many things about so many people. Hmm. It didn't feel like she was being fed anything. It felt like Paula genuinely just had this wealth of information that she could just pull on. And I don't know how she got that knowledge base, but for some reason, it is a beautiful thing. And I extraordinarily impressed. Paula Abdul for every mass singer or every mass show. Like, just do it.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you there.
Okay.
And I think...
Yes. You think what?
Right, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm changing
subjects. I'm like, my brain is like running now. I'm like, oh my God, Masked Dancer. I have so many thoughts.
All right, go to the next thought.
Okay. Ashley trying to be young.
Stop it.
STFU. Okay. Like, is that right? I don't know. Fine. Whatever. Like, shut up. Being like, yeah. Who's Barry Bonds? And then when she asked the tulip that question about like, oh, would you rather have which are you more scared of, your phone battery running low or running out of gas? And then, of course, the tulip who's like 12 years old is like, oh, low phone battery. And she actually like, oh, girl, you and me the same. Oh, we know what's up. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I want to say like act your age, but if that's what she's supposed to be the young person, fine, whatever. But she's our age, dude. And like, you and I'll say things and then sometimes we'll be like, are we cool and young enough to say something like that? No, the answer is no.
No. Well, my thing with Ashley is that she's clearly supposed to be the youngin', but through trying to act young, she made me feel so old.
Yeah. Like, what up, fellow kids? Like, it's definitely that feeling.
Well, like, no, to me, here's the thing. If you're going to see a TikTok clue and you're like, yo, it's someone from TikTok, don't go with the generic first person, like the girl with the most followers on the platform. Like, You know better.
Like Rob if you, knows. If you no know offense better. To Rob, but like Rob knows who like the D'Amelio sisters are, right, or whatever. So,
yes, I would assume so. I think so. That's an easy bet.
Well, because okay. I think they learned it on the Renap podcast.
There you go. That would right? make sense. Yes.
Anyway, so that bothered me. other thoughts about the judges? I mean, Ken being Ken, I was thinking about what you said last time when we did the podcast where you felt like this is maybe a better fit for Ken because it is just like so incredibly stupid. I would co-sign that, I think, ultimately. I don't know if that's still your opinion.
At no point did I think like, oh, Ken, like I had and I watched and I binged because I had fallen behind on The Masked Dancer. Uh-huh. So I watched these in succession and I didn't get the Ken fatigue that I get off of watching one episode of Masked Singer. So,
right. Yeah, same.
It just it's here's the thing. Ultimately, for me, the reason why I could see, you know, I see Masked Dancer as a complimentary, it'll only be coming up when Masked Singer is not there type of content is because of the fact that when it comes to just dancing, like just look no further than the clue packages and how much they give you information to know that this is not supposed to be taken as seriously as Masked Singer. Like there's literally a Q&A. They ask a bunch of questions to the performer and then they still get a word up. They still get a word up after that.
So, I mean, yeah. Well, my guess is, though, is that this is them, the being so overt with the clues is them compensating for the fact that the jokes that we all made at the beginning of the season, they're just dancing. How are we supposed to know who it
exactly.
is?
Exactly. But so. Like to me, that is good because first of all, Ken needs as much help as he can get when it comes to guesses. So that's good. Mm-hmm. He still didn't win the golden ear this season. We had, you know, obviously
is it
we
the
mentioned
diamond ear. Or is it still the golden? Is it what would it
there
be?
Was
the,
no,
the diamond eyeball, right? Because
so
it's like
there
you
was
seen
no
dance.
Right. There was no reward for getting the most points, although they kept tally. I would assume it's the diamond eye or the golden eye. Oh, golden eye, James Bond style, baby. There you go.
I know, but they give away the diamond trophy, which, by the way, the diamond mm-hmm. mass trophy is for sure a step above the golden trophy. Based
I know.
On every video game I've ever played, diamond is above gold.
Can
so,
we talk about that? Can we talk about the fact that not only was the trophy better, but like the caliber of celebrity was way higher for dancer than it was for singer this past season.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can go through. Okay. Wait, hold on. Before we go through, because I want to go through like, and like everybody that got eliminated, we can talk in general about the cast. But I have one more thing I need to say. Okay. Brian Austin Green. Why was he there?
Wait. Before you say this, can I say something?
Yes.
If you are a fan of this podcast and if you are a listener, that has been excited for us to come back. Please, before we get any further in this podcast, if you can take a second to leave us a rating and review, it would be much appreciated. Obviously, that helps get the word out on us, word up of us. That'll be great. And we always appreciate it. Whether it's 5 stars, however many stars you want to put in there, the feedback is important and we thank you. You can do that over on robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. All right. Now, Liana, let's rip into bag.
Brian Austin Green sucks. Okay, I'm sorry. How can you see the cotton candy perform literally a gymnastics routine and be like, yeah, you're an ice skater? I'm sorry. What?
Bag was never supposed... Listen.
He was never supposed to be here. Why is he here?
I was on the right side of history when the giraffe made it further than the dragon. And every week watching has just proved that more and more to me. Bag, literally every guest Bag has had has been like one away from being right or two away from being right. This ice dancer one was awful. Obviously, the one he did get was the zebra. Mm-hmm. In these like last string of episodes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
For the most part, Bag has not been good.
And look, here's the thing is like, I'm not okay. I it comes across as like me hating on him specifically as a person. And I want to clarify that because it's not his fault that someone somewhere picked him for this job. You know what I mean? Like if I get hired for a job that I'm not qualified for, don't get mad at me, right? Because I didn't make the hiring decision. Okay. Be mad at whomever did the hiring. All right. And maybe he'll get better. But like, Of all the people that you could hire, like, is he the best that we could do? That's all I'm right. saying. I'm just going to throw that out there as an idea. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, far be it from us to be the people who are like sitting here spewing some kind of hate. We're not. Yeah.
We have no authority. We're literally the worst. What do we do? What are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, this podcast is a mess. Like, listen to the first 6 minutes of the podcast.
Speak for yourself. It's gold. It's absolute diamond is what it is.
Oh, it's a diamond quality. Two diamonds. I would rate this podcast two diamonds. Because the candelabra and the mirror. Yes. Look at us. My gosh, darling. Anyway, well, whatever. That was my thoughts, especially. Yeah, we did the same thing. We both binge watched episodes because we fell behind. Okay, sorry. All right, another thing. Craig Robinson. Okay. You seem to like Craig Robinson as the host, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I want to hear why.
No. So I like Craig Robinson. Like, period.
Yes. As End a person. Yes. Okay. Great.
Next sentence.
Uh-huh. Yeah, next sentence. Uh-huh.
God, I feel like you're rushing me. It's a little unnerving.
Oh, well, I think Sarah Palin can see you from their house.
No. Because
you're Russian?
No.
And
no,
she can see Russia.
Delete joke. Okay. So I like Craig Robinson. I like him in stuff I've seen him in. I like him like otherwise. However, I just didn't vibe with him as a host. I think he did a good job given what he had, and he really tried to make the gig his own. And I think he did. But like, and I really thought I would like the him singing Take It Off while they're chanting Take It Off, but it didn't hit for me.
I think because, and I completely agree with you, like, I think he's really funny. I love everything that he's in, but I felt like his sort of deadpan kind of no giving a shit a little bit attitude was misplaced, I think. Now, that being said, the moves before and after commercial, and I know we've talked about this before, love them. I love them so much. They're so stupid. It's like, I wrote them down. Okay. Tiny kick. Turn and put your hand over your butt. Stand still for a while and then hand to the sky. Tiny hip thrust to the left. Hold the mic, bow your head and pray. Or swing the baseball bat, my personal favorite. So, you know, I mean, really, quite the danza.
I think that my big question in, you know, trying to figure out how they felt about his job. So we know that Nick Cannon tested positive for COVID and missed, I believe, the first half of the Masked Singer recording. So he will not be hosting the Masked Singer season 5 at the start. Mm-hmm. He will be joining it at some point, but he will not be there at the start. Is it surprising that in his stead, they didn't put Craig Robinson and they went with Niecy Nash?
Right. I mean, because that's the thing is that, oh, well, it's part of the Masked Singer family, the Masked universe or whatever we're calling it. He's right there. We're going to bring him in. It's going to be, you know, the perfect fit. The fact familiar with the set, familiar with the setup, familiar with Ken, you know what I mean? Like, there's a level of familiarity that would totally make sense. So the fact that they didn't make that decision, yeah, I think is maybe a little bit of the kind of canary in a coal mine about how they feel about his performance. But if I don't know. I mean, let's say it comes back for a season 2. One, do you think they would replace him?
No.
Or two, do you think they should replace him?
No. I think ultimately it's something to get used to with Craig. I think that, I mean, Craig clearly is more of a singer than a dancer. He clearly had moments in these last couple episodes where he sang. You know, he sang I Had the Time of My Life. He sang when everyone was dancing, the last performers were dancing. So, like, he's clearly a better singer. He's not a dancer. But also, it's like we got to decide, do we want the host to be doing splits and being able to, like, you know, break dance? Like, what are we trying? What does the host have to be a good dancer? Because I don't think that's the case. So I think ultimately Craig will fit in better and better. Because I also think that, you know, Nick Cannon did this for 4 seasons and I thought he was dog. But now I kind of like realizing that he's actually better than I gave him credit for. After looking at other work. So I don't think that it's over for him. And I don't think they're going to go out of their way to get someone new. I think Craig has his job secured.
I mean, I think so, too. And I think, honestly, for all of them, give them another shot, right? Like if mm-hmm. the network is willing to give the show another shot, yeah, give them another shot. It's fine. Whatever. Like, yeah. Try it out.
Yeah. I mean, I love Craig Robinson, so you're not going to mm-hmm. get a no from me there, dog. All right. So do you want to just talk about now in order the people who went out from like sixth all the way to first?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll talk about, so Super Six is where we're at. If there's any performances that stood out to you, we can talk about them. And if there's any comments you have, we can talk about them there.
Okay. Wait, sorry. I think my brain just like completely zoned out. Did you say Super Six, or do you want to start at the very, very beginning?
No, I mean, we've talked about everyone on Patel the Super Six, right? So we don't need to relitigate everything from the beginning.
Okay. All right. I want to look up who was eliminated early just so I remember. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. I know. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Ice-T, Bill Nye, Brian McKnight.
Oh, my God. I can't. This cast list like looks. That I don't know if it does. I don't know. I feel this was
a better cast than Masked Singer season, because like, here's the thing. So Masked Singer season 4 happened, and in the preseason we got a question of, do you think it's going to be a bigger celebrity cast than before because mm-hmm. of the pandemic? And I said, heck yeah. I said mm-hmm. it's going to be the biggest thing they've ever done. And then ultimately that was not to be the case. It was definitely a lower caliber. I think it was the weakest cast of the 4 seasons as far as like notoriety goes. But then you look at Masked Dancer, they nailed it. I don't want to spoil people on placements on anything for the Masked Singer UK, but I will tell you that Neo was on the Masked Singer UK. Why can't we get Neo on the Masked Singer US? That is my question. Know.
You were so not happy about that.
Like, they got Neo. Closer. He was on the Masked Singer UK. He lives closer to the US. Why was he in the UK? That's my question.
I know. Well, doesn't he have like a thing in the UK or something like that? Like, there's a reason.
Does he?
I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. All right. So the thing is, though, so I'm looking at season 4, for example. I would say that season 4 of The Masked Singer and The Masked Dancer are probably somewhat on par. Although it's interesting, people like Brian McKnight and Jordan Sparks, I would love to have seen on The Masked Singer. And there's like a part of me that's frustrated that they were on The Masked Singer or Masked Dancer, not The Masked Singer. But I mean, Brian McKnight like literally said, I wouldn't have done The Masked Singer because everybody would have known who I was. A little bit of a kind of like Seal vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I respect that decision. And same with Jordan Sparks. It felt very much like this is a purposeful decision that I'm making to do the dance version of the show, because I'm sure she was approached for Masked Singer previously. So, but anyway, okay. All right. Yeah. You want to go in order? So at the Super Six, the Hammerhead gets eliminated.
This is right.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, what did you think of Rapid Fire? Rapid Fire.
Oh, that's when they just hit him with all the questions, right? Back to back to back to back.
Yeah, they get like, I don't know, 20 seconds or something like that to ask as many questions as possible.
So I just felt like it was a whirlwind. And then they would ask something dumb like, do you miss your family? Like, no, I don't miss my family. Like, what do you like? What kind of question is that? It's a waste of a question.
If these people were playing 20 questions, they would make terrible choices for the first questions. Like, this is your chance to narrow it down between the people that you and even if you ask a question and their response is like a little bit cagey or playful, at least you asked a smart question. Yeah. The one about the missing your family. Like, do you miss your kids? No. Exactly.
Like, no one is going to say, even if they don't miss their kids, no one is going to say on national TV, no.
But even that, how does that help you narrow it down? Is it because the thing is that I can't remember exactly who it was for, but I'm pretty sure they knew whether or not the person had kids. Because that's another thing is that maybe you're trying to clarify whether or not they have kids at all. Fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just so dumb. It's so dumb. The only good thing that came out of it was the fact that when Craig Robinson went fire and then the little fire pyrotechnics went off in the back. No song. Word Up had a song. Rapid Fire did not have a song. I demand that their segment next time has a song.
Rapid Fire may have had something in the background, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it didn't have. It needs, I don't know, like Pitbull or something. You need like the Pitbull song. Doesn't he have like a fire song? I feel like all of Pitbull's songs are about fire. Oh my God.
Fireball.
Yeah. Bump, 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 bump. Like rapid fireball, you know, something like that. I don't know. Also, can I tell you something that happened? I was listening to Jason Derulo on Spotify the other day.
Shocked.
And I know. And which, by the way, Jordan Sparks dated Jason Derulo. Okay. So just throwing it out.
What? I didn't know that.
Dude, for like 3 years or something like that. Anyway.
Oh.
So under my suggested artists, people you may like, based on listening to Jason Derulo, Pitbull was one of the suggested artists, and I nearly just lost it. I was so embarrassed.
Why were you embarrassed?
I don't know. It just felt weird to have Jason Derulo, and then Pitbull was the suggestion. But ultimately, I think it makes sense.
You're not like some bougie music elitist.
I know. But still. All right. Sorry.
What are you apologizing for? You're done.
I feel like that was a total, that made no sense.
The Super Six episode, the clue packages made it abundantly clear what the shortlist looked like. Mm-hmm. I don't have much knowledge about the Olympic teams, the Olympic like athletes. I know like very little, but even I knew when I saw the 5 gold balloons, I was thinking gymnastics and the Olympics immediately. Mm-hmm. With the super clue. But no, let me talk about the main person who we're here to talk about for this episode. And that is the Hammerhead, who hails from Jersey and is none other than Vinny from the Jersey Shore, which I believe, remind me if I remember correctly, we nailed that in our last episode. We nailed that one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure both you and I got to it independently also, because we were like catching up on stuff and both came up with it. So I feel pretty good about that guess.
Yeah, no, we talked about him and we talked about the exotic bird who somehow went out in fifth place, which we will get to. But I mean, it made sense, Leona. Hammerhead going out at the Super Six made complete sense. It was probably the most predictable placement from mm-hmm. the episodes we've watched and are talking about today, from episode 5 to 9.
I think I may have had the zebra going out first because I felt like the zebra was relying on that. Don't rely on that costume. But I do think that the fact that he got like the most improved award helped him stay in the competition a little bit further. Before we talk about the zebra, the Hammerhead didn't really dance. Okay. So like, if you don't dance, get off the mass dancer.
I disagree with that, actually. But the Hammerhead did definitely give me like aerobics video routine vibes.
Yes,
like
it was just like much.
Hypey, but not like much to brag about. And mm-hmm. I think that ultimately the zebra had like the fast shimmy feet, and like they just for some reason loved the shimmy. They loved the shimmy. And I think the combination of the zebra's regular body movements combined mm-hmm. with the fringy outfit, as you said, really made it look a lot more impressive probably and appealing than it was.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably one of those things that is technically challenging, but maybe doesn't look super technically challenging also, mm-hmm. right? But I mean, the fact that it's Oscar De La Hoya, which I was shocked at. When Brian Austin Green was guessing, I was like, nah, he's got more going on than to do this show. Sure enough, it was him. And I think that did make me appreciate what the zebra brought. But yeah, the costume, fabulous choice. It's always like we talk about this in Drag Race, that type of costume that has all that fringe just makes the moves look so much more dramatic and drastic when you dance with that on. And so it's obviously a fabulous choice.
Yeah, I mean, and then compared to the Hammerhead, whose costume was pretty basic, it doesn't give you much of like razzle dazzle that's sewn in as much as the zebra did. Zebra had razzle dazzle and then had razzle dazzle sewn in. That's like double razzle, double dazzle. So
In razzle dazzle. Do you think that'll come up on the Masked Singer? He's got sewn in razzle dazzle.
Yeah, it's very possible. You know who had the reverse of that? The Snow Owls did not have the sewn in.
Yeah, they had reverse sewn in razzle dazzle, because exactly. That is a statement that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. RSI RD.
I mean, of course, the RSI RSID. Yeah, of course.
Yes. There's not much else to say. It was nice to see Vinny, even within the like 2 minutes that he spoke. I was like, this is why he was my favorite on the Jersey Shore. Like, he's just a normal dude.
Yeah.
A normal dude.
I think I remember telling you, how did he end up on the Jersey Shore? He seems so normal.
I remember and like, when well I first adjusted. Watched, yeah. When I first watched the Jersey Shore, I had just moved to Canada, and like the dorm building I lived in, we're on fifth floor, Lennox would do a Jersey watch parties in the common room. And I was like, I want to make friends. Let me go binge it and catch up on it. Mm-hmm. And I had the exact same feeling of everyone on this show is ridiculous, but Vinny seems like he's trying to be ridiculous and it doesn't belong. Obviously, right. He ended up being the perfect fit. His bromitment to Pauly D, like they have a whole thing of their own. And then he like fit in with the Snooki story. He was a great fit, ultimately, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, he was a straight man, right? You need somebody
exactly.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, no, it was perfect. But yeah, no, mm-hmm. he did good. He did good for who I know him to be now, as far as the Hammerhead goes. That was a good Super Six. I ultimately did not have like a dull moment watching that Super Six episode. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, when you have six performances, right, that always mm-hmm. helps. You know, the ones that we really struggle with are the ones where there's only four or something like that. So
yeah, I think that the other takeaways I had here that kind of built up to the finale was that it was very clear that Sloth was being shown as like the big razzle dazzler of the season. Like the Sloth had all the movements, all the like specific mannerisms that, you know, went beyond like just good dancing routine and had like the extra comedy bits added in there, which I did enjoy.
Yeah, this is where, and I think he talks about how he's going to do a different dance style each week. Like he does yes. the Hollywood, and then at some point he does Bollywood. And so I thought that was just it was clearly an active choice that he was making. And I appreciated that for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else you want to talk about from Super Six before we go into the Fabulous Five? I don't know.
Whitney Cummings straight up called Kate Upton on FaceTime to confirm a guess. I feel like that's cheating.
Listen, I didn't mind. If it's a can guess, you are well within your rights to the doc, like make the truth happen right then and there.
Yeah, so right. And just like, Ken, yeah. you're so stupid.
Yeah. No, I thought Whitney Cummings did fine. I thought she did a really good job on the panel. I think she worked, yeah. like she was very comfortable.
Thought so it was her. Who were the other Maya Bialik and Will Arnett were all there. Yeah, I thought they were all fine. I mean,
you want to rank them 1, 2, 3 them?
I mean, Will Arnett obviously has the history with the show, so I would, it's either Whitney or Will for first, and then Maya Bialik is
in Maya Bialik was last for me as well, and I think it would be Whitney Will for a second.
The only thing that I really appreciated was because, so she's got her PhD and Ken has his MD, and there were a lot of PhD versus MD jokes. That my kind of content. Very oh, yeah,
definitely.
Very,
very.
I
watch The Masked Dancer to watch the MDs and the PhDs square off. That's
I know, right? Like I mean, it's so relatable to the common man. You know what I mean?
Yep. Indeed, it is. let's see. I think that was the one thing we missed out there. So that was a good catch. Final five. Where do we go?
Well, we're back to Word Up, right?
Okay, well, let me take this over. That was a big part. It was like that moment in Community where Troy says fight, but he can't change the word and he still says fight anyways.
Yeah.
So we're back to Word Up. Word Up is back here. And this is... not going to lie, out of the four episodes I watched, the final five was the most dull of the four episodes. I did not enjoy the final five as much. I think it was a combination of we had just gotten a great Super Six in and mm-hmm. it was kind of like samey a little bit. The ending is probably the most surprising thing that I want to talk about, in that the audacity that the exotic bird gets the boot at five and doesn't make it to the four, because it was very obvious to me that there was a top four out of the Super Six, and there were two that should have been fifth and sixth.
So I knew, because you know, I knew you were really high on the exotic bird coming in, and I had felt like, even though I knew you were going to come in here with that opinion, I can't argue with you, right? Like I think genuinely you're 100% on the money. I thought Zebra for sure was going to go, and I didn't quite understand why the decision was made. Also because they were talking, it's Oscar De La Hoya. I was like, oh, they've got him.
I think that the Zebra kind of benefited from the same thing that the Rhino benefited from in Masked Singer season 3, where they both were very much touted as the most improved. Mm-hmm. And when you say that someone has come in and done better than that you expected of them, then yeah, that gives them an automatic bump up. So I think that was a part of it, because ultimately I think that if you had told me who's in the final three, Exotic Bird, as much as I loved her, would not have made my final three after watching the performances this season. However, this is not that shocking to me, but it's just like when the Rhino made it, I was upset, and I was upset here. But that's the thing. When you give a storyline and a narration to a specific performer, they will outkick their coverage more often than not, because you are painting the story and how we're supposed to perceive them. It's just good marketing. It's good branding. And mm-hmm. by slapping a most improved sticker on the zebra, you're automatically telling me that, listen, the zebra can hang. The zebra's getting better. Who knows what we'll see from the zebra next time? So I kind of understood it ultimately.
And I guess also they knew, or at least Paula felt like Jordan Sparks was the Exotic Bird as well, which, I mean, the clues were so obvious.
Was there a person, because like, you know how, you know, no one guessed Aloe Black for the mushroom mm-hmm. until like the day, the night of, I believe. No one guessed Aloe Black, actually.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But this season, I feel like everyone had a correct guess at every turn, right? There's not one person that wasn't guessed.
I'm trying to remember. You mean like the contestants, not the panelists, like having a correct guess?
No, I mean that the panelists, all like every episode had a absolute, like there wasn't an episode where everyone missed the board.
Yeah, I think so. Because even at the end, the cotton candy was guessed and Paula knew the sloth. So I think, and yeah, the two. Yep. Mm-hmm, I think so. Yep. I think you're correct. Yeah.
Yep. I think because Elizabeth Smart, Bag knew, Ryan mm-hmm. McKnight, they knew, Hammerhead, they knew. Yeah. Yeah. There was not one person, even when I thought, after seeing the top three, I was like, I don't know, like two out of the three, but they knew very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's okay. So for me, that was probably the biggest shock, was Exotic Bird going out. But when I saw that, well, it confirmed to us that it was Jordan Sparks, I was like, this is so cool. Again, why is Jordan Sparks here and not on The Masked Singer? Ultimately, we got to decide, right? Is this because, and I hate to say this, but do you think there are singers that do not want to get Rottweilered? And by that, I mean, do you think that there's singers who are like, dude, I'm really good. If I go, it should be a gimme, but I'm about to lose to someone else. I'm about to be second place, even though I'm good. Because mm-hmm. like the Rottweiler.
She won her season of American Idol too. Like, who does she have anything to prove to?
Right. She has nothing to prove as far as the musically is concerned.
And it definitely did feel a little bit like, it was, I mean, clearly based on her narrative, and then also the way that she was speaking after Jordan Sparks got unmasked, was very much, I'm reclaiming my body, I'm doing this for my child, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. like she had this internal motivation that wasn't just solely based on, okay, let me show off my vocal talent again. Because T-Pain's, I felt like, was very much, I need to prove to these mofos that I can sing. Whereas for her, it was more of this, you know, after being pregnant and going through having a baby and being mm-hmm. able to dance on stage and do it in mass. Like, it was a conscious choice to dance.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that, like, for example, with Jesse McCartney, I don't think there was a redemption, I need to redeem myself element to that. Whereas I do think with T-Pain, you're absolutely right, there was that kind of vibes for sure. I think that it makes sense for Jordan. I think I'm thinking about Brian McKnight being like, I would have been guessed. It's like, well, why wouldn't you still do it? You know, like, what's stopping you from doing that?
Yeah,
think about the legends that have gone out early. You know, think about Chaka Khan went out like what, fourth? Like, yeah, but there have been, the roads are paved with great, amazing artists who have fallen to the white tigers of the world.
That's maybe part of it. I wonder if The Masked Singer is getting a little bit of a bad rep in the professional community, because we're seeing people do this. Chaka Khan had a and was vocal about it to the press bad time on The Masked Singer. So I there's a little bit of me that wonders that if there's this internal politics world that we're not a part of. And what if Brian McKnight is just thinking, yeah, I'm not going to bother doing it because they'll guess me right away and I'm going to have a bad time. Like, I wonder if there's something else there. I don't know. Yeah. A girl can dream for the drama, though.
Yeah, I mean, I listen, let's not get it twisted. I was very happy to see Jordan Sparks back on my television.
She's so pretty. I hate her. Oh, she's so pretty. I don't hate her. I'm just envious.
Okay, good. Good. We're not going to have
beef. I love her. She's so pretty.
She's awesome. A special shout out to The Sloth for doing a full Bollywood number, and I thought that the Bollywood number was phenomenal. So,
yeah, The Sloth was phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
I love everything about that.
Phenomenal. Sorry, I'm done.
How did you feel about? Because I didn't mention this in the Super Six, but the Ashley Teasdale guessing Hugh Jackman for The Sloth. How did that make you feel? Do you think that was actually a legitimate guess? Like, that could have been.
Well, my first thought was, I can convince my mom to start watching these shows. She's a huge Hugh Jackman fan. I'll be like, Mom, Hugh Jackman might be on The Masked Singer or The Masked Dancer.
She's a huge
Hugh Jackman fan. Yes. But no, of course not. When Ken was guessing, and I know this isn't exactly for Hugh Jackman, but when Ken was guessing Channing Tatum, I knew it wasn't Channing Tatum. But part of you is like, but what if it is? I'm still falling for it. I still fall for it.
All right. Then before we go over to the next batch, the semifinals, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Word up.
All right, now this is multiple words up, because we're not only going to give you a word, we're going to give you paragraphs. So we're back, and let's talk about the semifinals now. So was this the most obvious what's going to happen to you now that Exotic Bird was removed from the equation?
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, so why am I even bothering? Like, you talked about how the top five was boring because you had a fun top six. For me, it was like, I know what's going to happen. Why are we here? Like, why am I even here? I'm really just here to try to build evidence for why I think either Cotton Candy, Sloth, or Tulip should win. Like, clearly Zebra's going home. I'm sorry, but there's definitely a divide here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that the problem for me was that with five, I was kind of like, meh. But then when I watched four, I knew what was going to happen, so I didn't have to stress. I was like, I'm just going to kick back and watch my faves make it to the final three. That's really how it felt to me. Mm-hmm. So I was okay with that arrangement. None of the performances really like blew me out the water. But at this point, I had picked my favorite of the three that I wanted to win going into the final three. And that
In going into the final three or at the final four?
Going into the final, like, after the, obviously you go from the final four into the final three. So so that's what I'm saying. Watching this episode, I knew who my favorite was going into the final three.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was The Sloth.
Yeah.
Very much became big on The Sloth over the last like two episodes. So
big Sloth guy.
Yeah. And Ashley said, you're the one to beat. I was like, ooh, that's a little foreshadowing. I like that. But was there anything that stood out to you during this semifinal?
Honestly, the biggest thing like that first of all, they did their first group number, which I loved, and they did Walk the Moon, which I loved, but the weird thing about it was it just further solidified the fact that the Zebra was going to be out, because it was like the top three all together and then the Zebra was kind of further back off to the side, like doing his own thing. You could not have had a more clear metaphor for what was going to happen throughout this episode. But I like that they bothered to do that, and Lego Masters is coming back for a second season over the summer, so other big takeaway.
good times coming through.
Oh, and Craig Robinson sang a song for Ken because he didn't get a Valentine.
yeah I these Valentine's clues were, well, I watched it later. So I was like, wait, what? Oh yeah, that was last week. So
I know, right? I was like, fine. When was Valentine's Day?
Yeah. But did this not happen to Ken last time? Didn't Ken also end up with nothing last time and Nick gave him something?
It sounds familiar. I we've seen this bit before where Ken gets snubbed for a gift, whether it be Valentine's Day, Christmas, whatever. It happened.
Yeah. It happened. Okay. Yeah. Ultimately, I had nothing else to say either. The big takeaway here is that Bag guessed Oscar De La Hoya and Will put his whole lineage on the line for Oscar De La Hoya, and it turned out right. So good for them. I think the most ridiculous between Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, and The Miz, I can't decide. It's a three-way tie for wow, what are you doing?
The Miz one was the one that really sent me.
I was like, listen, I like that the idea that The Miz would do this because he would, but you're really trying to fit a square peg into a circle hole here. Like, this was really out of left field just because he's on SmackDown. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We're at the finale now because, okay, actually, I didn't watch The Road to the Finals. Did you watch The Road to the Finals? And is there anything you can give us from there?
Okay, here are my major takeaways. Okay, one, the sloth considered quitting the show because he got an injury and he didn't want to keep going. Also, one of the clues for Oscar De La Hoya was he had cash canisters, like, you know, mm-hmm. those guns that like shoot out cash. And that was supposed to represent his business success. That is the stupidest clue on the. I mean, it's not the stupidest clue because we've seen worse on The Masked Singer, but like, well, that could be for anybody. You put a cash canister and be like, it represents their success in music. If it was someone who was not successful financially, mm-hmm. they probably wouldn't even be on the show. So anyway, those are my two major takeaways.
Yeah, there was a clue for the sloth that was like, there was a blue beaker and a yellow beaker, and those two together would be the Ukrainian flag. I was like, but they weren't on top of each other. You mixed it and turned it green. So I was like, listen, yeah.
Look, the masked universe gone a mask universe.
Exactly. Exactly. Then here you go. We're in the finale. Wow. What a ride.
Here we are.
What a ride
it's been. Wow. What a road that we took to get here.
Yeah. So we're at the finale with these three. Now, let's talk about the Tulips performance. That was the first one. It was the opener. I really liked the chess, like outdoor chess garden background thing that was going on. I love the addition of the green throne. And then the dancers had like little chess piece heads. Like, this was perfect. The ambiance was set. When I saw this, I said, okay, Tulips got this. And then the routine kind of weared on, was kind of boring. And here's my thing with the three of them. Uh-huh. I think out of the three, the Tulip gave me the same thing every time. I wasn't getting new stuff from the Tulip, and it kind of like fell flat for me.
The Tulip did those. Did you ever watch Dance Moms?
I most definitely did not.
Yeah. Okay. So the types of dances that they do on Dance Moms, or at least when I was watching, which was in the earlier seasons, were all very similar. And they were all exactly this. It was like you have a song and you're telling an emotional story to that song. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why those dancers are able to be successful is because they're also emoting with their face. But when you can't do that because you're in a mask, it takes away that element. So those were sort of the types of dances that I felt like she was doing. Not all the time, of course. There were definitely some differences, but there were elements that were repeated. And because it leans so much on that style, I felt that was part of the reason why she didn't elevate to the same level and why she ended up third, which I was happy with the decision.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agree with the fact that the storytelling element, a lot of it, the storytelling is important, and a lot of it is robbed when you can't express it with your face. Now, obviously, they're expressing it with their bodies through dance, but I would argue that the other two got more emotion out of the audience with their movements than the Tulip did.
I think they just mixed it up more. The fact that the sloth,
that is the main one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that the sloth consciously doing that, but then also the cotton candy did a ton of different styles. Like the cheer routine that she did, the ballet routine that she did, right? I mean, there's also a ton of variation. And then, of course, ending with the gymnastics routine.
Yes. And I think that we'll get to the cotton candy. I have thoughts there for sure. But with regards to the Tulip, I did think front runner the minute we saw the Tulip. And then we ended the season with the Tulip finishing where I would say was the right place for the Tulip to finish, mm-hmm. was in third place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ultimately that was good. And I was very much happy with that scenario. Were you aware of who Mackenzie was before this unmasking?
Yes, because I had watched Dance Moms, but I only knew her as a very, very young child because I was watching in like the early seasons before I fell off.
Yes. And I would like to make it clear that Mackenzie's existence on the show is why I felt old, because Ashley kept making me feel old with the way she tried to get things.
Again, hello, fellow kids.
Exactly. So then we moved on to the Sloth, and the Sloth had this bowling alley motif. And just, again, give me the razzle dazzle. What I was talking about earlier with the emotional stuff coming across with the Sloth is the comedy. The Sloth was doing these little subtle things throughout every performance that gave you laughter because you could tell what the Sloth was doing. And I very much enjoyed that. I liked every bit of this routine. I genuinely thought this was the winning routine of the night, in my opinion. I thought this was a winner. I thought this was, the Sloth has done great all throughout the season, and I would have never expected it, which is why I think the Sloth fell to like our bottom three drafted. So,
well, we didn't see the Sloth perform.
And the Sloth had a belly on him. So I made the wrong assumption that like the Sloth's going to be slow, but the Sloth did not skip a beat.
No, I thought it was funny. Of course, it's ironic. You can tell that Maxim, I have never heard Max. Of this man. Okay, Max.
Yeah.
Once from Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, I've seen him before. Like, no, I didn't like know him, but I like know him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It clearly was able to show off his personality, and the fact that he was able to do that with the mask on is something we've seen before on The Masked Singer, but very few people can do it really well. And I thought that the Sloth nailed that element of it. And I think this final performance was a good example of that because it really was that humor stuff. It was him doing those little sight gags. And, you know, kind of the like look back at the audience, break the fourth wall kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that element of the performance was really fun. I thought, though, and you can make the argument that the cotton candy did more gymnastics than dancing. Right. But I was more enthralled by the cotton candy's performance.
Which that's a perfect segue to the cotton candy. So here is my inherent problem with the cotton candy. First, let it be known. Cotton Candy killed it. Gabby Douglas is incredible. And I'm very happy that she won. And her reaction gave me everything I needed at the end of the night of like, yeah, she was in this to win this. She very much like was happy and worked for this. I'm not doubting that. My problem with the Cotton Candy, Liana, is what I said about the storytelling aspect. They made us feel emotional about the Cotton Candy from like weeks in advance. Because every episode, we went back to that fall. We went back to that fall in the first week where she fell, and they're like, oh, but now she's building herself back up. And now she's like, reforming who she is. And I was like, come on. Like, she got back up and she's been killing it ever since because she's capable and she's got the skills. Like, you don't need to give me a redemption arc when she, you know, nothing is there for the redemption. Like, if she was in the bottom two at one point, now we're talking redemption arc. That's different. So that was my big problem with it. And then ultimately, So when it comes to Masked Singer, we've talked about it, right? You will take a vocal powerhouse over like a good singer with razzle dazzle. I take the razzle dazzle. I felt similarly here, but that's just because I'm a goofy, dumb idiot and I like comedy. But that's why I felt more. And I felt like the Sloth did a lot of variety. And then I don't know. Maybe it's because I knew who she, like it was a gymnast. And then to see a gymnastics routine, I was like, wait, but this is easy for you. I don't know. It's not easy.
Yeah. It's like saying like, oh, you're a good singer. Like you're a professional singer and you sang.
No, Liana, I understand. I understand. But my argument is that like we always talk about going above and beyond for the final, right? We always talk about that. When I love the Rottweiler, I love Chris Daughtry. You know this about me. But when the Fox ended up doing a song vocally, switched it up to a freestyle rap in the middle and did choreo. It was like, yeah, you did a lot. You did everything at the end here. So take it.
But this to me, I think the cotton candy stepped it up over the Sloth. I think the sloth actually went back to his wheelhouse of just doing that sort of comedy thing. Whereas the cotton candy, we actually hadn't seen her do anything like this before, even though we know that she's a gymnast. And the fact that she saved it for the very end, that takes balls, because you're thinking like, I could get eliminated any week and I wouldn't have the opportunity to show this off. No, you know what? I'm going to save it. And then the whole thing with the balloons. Oh my God, gag me. That was amazing.
The best part. That was the best part. It was the so balloons. Cool. And I have that in my notes, is that's the best thing that's happened.
I lost my S. I wrote Holsey shit because I spelled wrong and I was so excited. I loved this. So
you lost your S, but then you said Holsey shit.
Holsey shit. But it's the like thing the, is, it's like the, huh? Well, I was just going to say that I completely understand not wanting to be spoon fed this narrative, but they spoon fit, like the editors of the show spoon feed you clues. They're going to spoon feed you the winner. So I fell for it. And I'm sure a lot of the audience members, like, that was part of the reason why they wanted her to win. But then doing the analysis, I look back and I would say the sloth and cotton candy are pretty much on par, like in terms of their performances. I think the thing that ekes the cotton candy out over for me over the sloth is there's something about the fact that a non-dancer can come in and be successful and win this. Like that almost feels, and I feel bad because it's at the sloth's expense. Like I would have been totally happy if the sloth had won as well, but it's kind of cool to see the cotton candy win because we really haven't had that on the Masked Singer yet, where someone who's not a professional singer can come in and win the show. Whereas here we have an example of someone who, now obviously she's like a rhythmic gymnast, so she's used to this kind of stuff, so maybe that's a little bit cheating, but still.
Is she as a gymnast wins Masked Dancer the same way that Wayne Brady Masked Singer
as an entertainer, right? I guess, yeah, but right. He's still a singer, like he has music and had music before, so I don't know.
I mean, he had a couple, so they didn't hit this way, but he's been known for his vocals, just not in the music field. He's been like in the improv world, right? With Whose Line? This was a great finale. I had a lot of fun with it. And it didn't feel foregone to me, which I did enjoy. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I feel like once the Seahorse went out last season, it was like, okay, give the crown to the sun. Let's just see how we get there. But that's kind of how it felt. Mm-hmm. Who was third in the Masked Singer season 4?
It was my
last performer.
Mushroom.
No, Mushroom was second.
The Crocodile.
Oh, the Croc. Yeah, there we go.
Are we sure that the Crocodile wasn't second?
Yes.
Because you're right. I'm looking at it second. Now. That's wild. Yeah. I can't believe Aloe Black was a runner up. Now, to be fair, now that I've binged a ton of Aloe Black music, I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, you definitely do the thing where you just listen to the same artist over and over and over again.
Yeah, I'm a big Aloe Black fan now.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of this season. I think we've covered all the things that I wanted to talk about. One thing left, though, and we got a comment that will verify this for me. That's why I haven't brought it up. But there was this one point where once the sloth gets revealed, Bag talks about where I literally had dinner with you recently, and my pandemic senses were like, what are you doing? Why did you do this? And I was, you know, ready to go. I've been given a understanding of why this has happened. Okay. So just a factoid. This is from Laureen, who said, just a factoid for non-Dancing with the Stars people. Bag is currently dating Sharna Burgess, who is a Dancing with the Stars pro bracket and an Aussie. She is besties with Peta Muratroyd. Sorry if I butchered that name. Also an Aussie, who is Sloth's wife. That's why Bag was at dinner with Sloth.
But still.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Sloth is actually friends with his partner and the choreographer, both of who were on season 14 of So You Think You Can Dance. I know a lot about reality TV dancers. Well, thank you, Lorraine.
Okay, that's amazing. First of all, thank you for letting us know that information, which you could actually 100% tell. That when they did the clues from the dance partner, the Sloth's partner was like obsessed with the Sloth. Tell they were close.
You could tell it translated to the routines for me. Like you can definitely tell that there was something there.
For sure.
All right, Liana. Well, this brings us to a close on today. Well, obviously we will be back with season 5 of The Masked Singer. We've got 2 costumes that have so far been announced. the chameleon and Grandpa Monster, or was it Grandpa Monster?
Yeah.
We'll say Grandpa Monster. What are your thoughts on these two costumes?
Okay, well, the chameleon I'm super interested in because I didn't get to look at it in depth, but I can't exactly even though the body type is slender. Wait, hold on. Can I pull them up?
Yeah, pull them up. I mean, you're saying it as if I was going to say no, which would have been
wrong. Maybe. What if you said no?
You would have been wrong because I wasn't going to do that. What am I, like the fun police? Like that's.
Oh yeah, it looks like Elton John.
Oh my God! I'm seeing that there's a preview video that's 30 seconds long. There's a pig.
Oh no!
There's Grandpa Monster.
Oh, have you seen the Phoenix?
I have.
There's also like a futuristic look. Oh, the pig is terrifying. I hate it.
Yeah.
The pig is a thing of nightmares. Burn it. I hate it.
The pig looks like it's like dressed as like a school kid, but also creepy.
No, it's got those like.
I hate it. I don't like it.
What's the pizza place? It's got like Chuck E. Cheese dead inside eyes. It's terrifying. It's the worst.
Liana loves the pig.
No, the Phoenix looks super cool. There's a porcupine costume that looks pretty legit. Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, man, I'm so excited. That's the other thing, too, was watching The Masked Dancer got me re-excited about the Masked shows. Oh, right. I do like watching these.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. Fun. Oh, my gosh, The Masked Singer. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very, very, very keen to see how all this goes. So, obviously, like I said, March 10th, once we have a full cast or some kind of a preview something, we will probably come back to talk about them real quick before the season starts. Basically, it'll be kind of an introductory of if you watch The Masked Dancer and you weren't watching The Masked Singer, we'll give you a reason to do that. Or if it's just for me to get my flipping redemption on another draft before the season to try and maybe upset Liana, who literally picked the top four in the draft we did. Each picked four people, which is ridiculous.
I couldn't believe it. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling pretty confident when we did our mid-season catch up because I was like, well, I think I definitely have like three of the top five. But to go 4-for-4, I'm a genius.
Yeah. You really are a genius if it comes to Masked Dancer, but you've not had my number for the Masked Singer. We'll just have to see if you can overtake me there. Actually,
it's my blue whale.
Is it though? Because did you not win season 3 and 4?
I won season 4 for sure. But I can't remember if I won season 3. No one cares.
I feel like you had Candy on your team.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I did.
I had the other two and we were convinced it was going to be the turtle or the frog winning and they didn't.
That's right. Because I was convinced I was going to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was the first finale of the 5 seasons. Well, 4+ Dancer where there were more women in the finals than men.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Look at that. You know what I call that? Growth. All right. Let's get on out of here, Liana. But before we do, what are you up to? What are your plugs?
Oh, let me. People know. Okay, yes. So you can follow me on Twitter at Liana, R-H-A-P. If you are interested in the show, The Pirate Master, which why would you be? But if you are, or you just want to hear my beautiful voice one more time, Rob and Aaron Robertson and I all recorded a catch up on the Pirate Master series, which Russell Hance was supposed to be on, I guess, for season 2 till it got canceled. Anyway, it's just a goofy, silly, fun time. You don't even have to watch the show to listen to the podcast. Definitely check that out. That's in the regular RHAP thread. And then, of course, I'm doing Drag Race with the wonderful Beth Dixon and Amon Adwin. And we're talking about season 13, as well as the absolutely wild UK season that's going on as well. And we're going to have a special guest this week. I don't want to spoil it. We're going to have a special guest this week, so come on, check on by. We're doing video as well as audio, so if you want to watch the video, you can go to the YouTube page. And am I twitching now? Oh my God, I am. You can check out my Twitch. I'm at LianaIsm, whatever, twitch.tv/LianaIsm, because I took Puya's name. How cute.
You can find me on all major social media platforms. At Puyaism, Instagram, Twitter, twitch.tv, all the same. I have been talking 90 Day Fiance with Rob every week, which has been a delight. We had Asia on this past week to talk about it after a 2 week hiatus of no 90 Day. It was very nice to get that back. I said 2 weeks, I meant 1 week, but that was very great. And obviously we'll be back with more Masked Singer. Big Brother Canada is on the horizon. The Circle's on the horizon. So I'm sure those are also upcoming projects that I'm very excited for as well. And I stream 3+ days a week on Twitch. So you can come check that out. It's always good content there. Just come say hi. And obviously, if you would like to and can, please leave a rating and review for us over on robiswebsite.com/masked singer. It'll ensure that we get put out there more people are aware of the nonsense that happens here week in, week out, as you heard this last hour. So I hope you enjoyed yourselves, because I know we did. Take care, and we will unmask you at the start of the next season.
Woo-woo.
Bye.
Word up. Bye.